Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our text today will be Psalm 115. If you would like to read along, Psalm 115. And I want to begin this message with the first three words of verse 3. They say, "But our God." I love those three words. "But our God." The title of this message is "Their God and Our God." Their God and our God. Verse 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." There are many gods, and I mean little g, lowercase g gods, that exist in the minds and in the hearts of people all over this world. Meaning, there are many ideas that people have of who they think God is. People have some vision in their mind of who they think God is. There are many gods throughout the different denominations of Christianity. People, even under the canopy of Christianity, have a different view of who God is. But the fact of the matter is, there is only one true and living God. True God and living God. There is only one God that is in the heavens, seated on the throne. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to emphasize that word, Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He says continually throughout His word, "I am God. Beside me there is none else." One. Only one. There's no other God. There's no other Savior. All of the other little g gods that men and women have made up in their mind, the reality is they are no gods at all. Not at all. None of them are living, which means they're all dead. They can't do anything. People worship dead gods that cannot do anything. They cannot save. They pray to gods that cannot save. They're worthless. They're helpless. It doesn't matter if they go by the name Buddha, or they go by the name Muhammad, or they go by the name Mary, or even many of them that go by the name Jesus. If we are talking about a weak, helpless, worthless God that needs us to do something for Him. And does that sound familiar? A lot of men will stand up in pulpits and talk about a God that needs you to do something for Him. And if that's who we're talking about, we're not talking about God at all. Therefore, all of these false gods that men and women have made up in their minds, that are contrary to what the Scripture says about the true and living God, all of these false gods, however many there are, they can all be thrown into one single category. They're all known as their gods, their idols. And before we go any further, we need to understand this. You and I both really need to understand this. But for the grace of God, their gods would be our gods. But for the grace of God. Had the true and living God left His people to themselves, had He just left them alone, all of His people would be bowing before the idols of their gods. That's what man does by nature. That's the sin of man's flesh. It takes the grace of God. Only the grace of God can make a sinner see and hear and believe on and bow before the true and living God. It takes the grace of God to do that. So there's no room for boasting. When it comes to believing on and bowing before the true and living God, there's no room for pride in it. Not at all. There's only room for thanks, and there's only room for praise. Verse 18, the last verse here in Psalm 115 says, "But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." Praise the Lord. All praise and all thanks be unto the Lord. That's a believer's response to God's work and God's grace. All thanks and praise be unto Him. Verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." Not unto us. Everything be unto Him. Now, for just a moment, let's look at the difference between their gods, which is every false god that exists. All of the false gods that fall into that category of their gods, let's look at the difference between their gods and the true and living God. There's a big, big difference. The true and living God, who by His grace has allowed His people to call Him our God. What a privilege. What an absolute privilege. By His grace, He has allowed His people to call them our God. All right, so let's see this difference. Huge difference. If you want to follow along with me, in Deuteronomy 32, Moses said in verse 31, "For their rock is not as our rock, and their rock is a lowercase r. Our rock is a capital R." He said, their rock is not as our rock. The true and living God said in verse 37, "He shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection." What he's saying is, they can't. You did everything for them. Verse 39, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me." Now listen to what the true and living God says. He said, "I kill." That's strong language, isn't it? "See now that I, even I, am He, there's no God with me. I kill. I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." That is strong, strong language. Moses said, "Oh, there's a big difference." God said, "There's a big difference." And we're going to see in our text, David said the same thing. There's a big difference. I pray the Lord would cause us to see this and say the same thing with all of these men and say the same thing with our God. Back in Psalm 115, verse 2 says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" Our God just said, "Where are their gods?" And David said, "Why should the heathen say, where is now our God?" He said, "I'll tell you where He is." Verse 3, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." Verse 4 says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." The work of men's hands. That is an excellent description of a false god. I pray the Lord would reveal this to us. If, in order for me to have my God, it requires the work of my hands, I have a false god. Do you recognize the fact that men stand up in pulpits and say, Now, this is what you need to do. This is you need to get the work of your hands involved. If in order for me to have my God, it requires the work of my hands, I have a false God. If He cannot be my God without the work of my hands, then I have a false God. If He is reliant on me, does that sound familiar? If He is reliant on me to take part and do something, I have a false God. Silver and gold, he said their gods are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Silver and gold in the Scripture, they represent many things. But one of the things they represent is the law. God's pure, holy, royal law, they represent the value and the perfection that He demands. They represent the purity that He requires in order to be satisfied. God must be satisfied. He gave Moses commandments concerning the tabernacle and everything that would be in that tabernacle for man to be able to come before Him and worship Him. He said it all has to be covered in silver and gold. All of it. The pillars, the sockets, the utensils, the altar. Everything that was required for God to be satisfied, it had to be covered in silver and gold. And that's a picture of the perfection of the law, the perfection that law requires. Now, if the God that I am bowing before says that the law cannot be fulfilled, it cannot be satisfied without the work of my hands, I'm bowing before a false God. If that's the case, I'm bowing before a false God. The true and living God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I came to fulfill that law for my people. I did it. He said, I did not come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. Christ is the end of the law. He's the end of the deeds of the law for righteousness. So here's the difference. All right, we're looking at this difference. A false God needs man to do everything for him. The announcement is of a false God, you need to do, you need to do, you need to do. The true and living God doesn't need man to do anything for him. Not one thing. He does everything for man. The announcement of the true and living God is, it's done. It's finished. Rest. That's a big difference, isn't it? The law is fulfilled. God is satisfied. Rest. Not only is that a big difference, that's a wonderful difference. That's a glorious difference. Verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He hath done. Done. Not will do. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Verse 4 says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have mouths. They're gods. Men have given them mouths, but they speak not. May the Lord reveal this to us. May He reveal this to us. If I cannot find what my God has said in this book, I have a Bible right here. I have a Bible right here. If I cannot find what my God has said in this book, I have a false God. People say all the time, you're going to hear people say this all the time. Well, now, you know, God says, but when you look it up, it's not in there. This God didn't say that. Well, now God says, Lord helps those who help themselves. That's not in here. Our God didn't say that. Men say things like that all the time. If I cannot find what my God says in this book, I have a false God. The true and living God has a mouth, and He has spoken. Deuteronomy 32 again. It says in verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Christ Jesus the Lord. God the Father said, "Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." He said to Christ the Lord, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And it said in verse 4 there, "He's our rock." He's our rock. That rock is Christ. The Father said, "Give ear, I'll speak of Him." The true God said in Isaiah 55, "As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." What he's saying is, "I have spoken it, and it shall come to pass." I'll do it. In Psalm 115, verse 5 says, "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not," talking about their gods. They have eyes. They've formed eyes on them, but they see not. If there is anything that my God cannot see, anything. I'll just mention one of the most common ones that the gods of men and women, their gods, cannot see. If my God cannot see my sin, if there's anything He can't see, if He cannot look straight into the depths of my soul and see the sin of my heart and the sin of my mind, if the God that I worship, if I think He's just so happy with me and He's just so proud of me because I believe that He can't really see my sin, then I believe in a false God. If He can't see, it's a false God. Over in Psalm 139, it says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." You know everything. Verse 12 there says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee." Doesn't matter. You see it all. Verse 23, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lord God of heaven and earth, You see it all. You see it all. You see me for what I truly am. Job said, "His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth all his goings." Over in Matthew chapter 9, this right here is the true and living God. Matthew 9, verse 1, "He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves," they didn't say it out loud, they were thinking it, "they said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" He could see the sin of their thoughts without them ever saying a word. In John 5, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." He could see straight into the heart. He said, "I know what's inside you. I see your sin." He sees the sin of the deed. He sees the sin of the thought. He sees the sin of the motive of the heart. But thank God that's not all he sees. Thank God that is not all he sees. This is a glorious passage of Scripture. In Exodus 12, verse 12, he said, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods," lowercase g, "against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are." He said, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." He said, "I see the sin. I see the wickedness. But I am sending my son. I'm sending my lamb of sacrifice. I'm sending my son to shed his blood as a payment for all your sin. I'm going to cover you in his precious spotless blood. And when I see the blood, when my eye sees his blood, I'm going to pass over you. Your blood will not be shed. And it's because his blood was shed." Thank God he has eyes. Isn't that what we say? Thank God he has eyes. Our God has eyes and he can see. He sees the blood of Christ all over his people. Back in Psalm 115, verse 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not." Isaiah 45 says, "They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and they're praying unto a God that cannot save." Men and women all over this world are crying out in constant prayer to a lowercase g God that cannot hear a word that they are saying, cannot do anything for them. But the true and living God said, "I have heard. I have heard their groanings, I've heard their murmurings, but I've heard their cry unto me. And I'm going to help them. I'm going to deliver them." Why will he do that? Why will he hear? Why will he deliver? It's because of a sweet-smelling savor that was offered up to him. That's the reason why. Verse 6 goes on to say, "Their gods have noses, but they smell not." The true and living God said, "I have smelled the sacrifice that I provided for the sin of my people. And it is such a sweet-smelling savor to me. For that reason, they can approach me boldly to ask for mercy and grace to help in time of need." Because of that reason. He said, "I'll hear them, I'll answer them, and I'll deliver them from all their trouble." Verse 7 says, "They have hands," their God, "they have hands, but they handle not." Have you ever heard somebody make the statement that their God has no hands but your hands? Have you ever heard that? "He has no hands but your hands." That's a false God. That's a false God. The true and living God said in Psalm 98 that his right hand and his holy arm had gotten him the victory. The true and living God has hands. He has hands, and they can be handled. You can ask a disciple named Thomas. Our Lord entered into the room where the disciples were, and Thomas was very doubtful because he wasn't there the first time. And the Lord said, "Thomas, you reach over here and touch my hands. You touch them. You feel the scars." He said, "Behold my feet." A song says, "Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss." Verse 7 says, "They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not." They don't walk. Goes on to say, "Neither speak they through their throat. Their gods have no voice. But the true and living God, He has a voice. You can ask Saul of Tarsus. He was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him in such a way that it knocked him off of his horse. Verse 29 says, the voice of the Lord thunders. The voice of the Lord breaks cedar trees. Somebody will say, well, I've never heard His voice. Does he still speak out loud? He speaks to the heart. Speaks to the heart. When He speaks to the heart of His child, this is what He says. I am. I am. And then He says, fear not. I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm thy God. I'll still give thee aid. All who hear Him speak, they will say, no man spake like this man. No man ever. If any man or woman thirst, He said, let him come to Me. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said, today you'll be with Me in paradise. Oh, He has a voice. Verse 7, they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.